News Talk 1620 WTAW. For all the new construction that continues on the Texas A&M campus, there's a lot dealing with deferred maintenance, and that was a subject that was dealt with at length this week when President Michael Young addressed the Board of Regents. All the presidents and agency directors around the Texas A&M system met earlier this week, and here's the comments from President Michael Young regarding deferred maintenance on the flagship campus.
We have set aside $25 million for identified deferred maintenance projects that need to be done. At the same time, we spend about another $50 million on projects that sort of arise during the year, renovation of a building, moving it from office space to classrooms, or from classrooms to laboratories, or one department moves out and another moves in, or we have a complete breakdown in our HVAC system in a particular place. It's a little hard to separate out what of that is precisely deferred maintenance and what is simply improvement to enhance the educational mission at a particular moment. But every time we invest in that way, it does improve that and usually addresses the deferred maintenance of that particular facility. So it is possible to look at it and say we're spending about $70 million a year on deferred maintenance, which would probably largely hold us steady, wouldn't make progress in eliminating the backlog, but probably largely allow us to hold steady. What we are doing, we are contracting. In fact, Dr. Strasser was meeting with him yesterday, ironically or coincidentally, with a group called Sightline that will help do a very deep drill down on a whole range of metrics regarding our physical facilities. And it will include what does our classroom inventory look like for the number of students we have, what are the size of the classrooms, how appropriate they are for the educational activities we're engaged in, what do the laboratories look like, what is the distribution of the laboratories look like across disciplines, and so forth. But it also gives you a lot of comparative data. They'll give us a lot of comparative data on deferred maintenance. We have priorities, but getting an outside perspective from this group to help us understand enhance our understanding of what the critical deferred maintenance needs are will also come out of this work we're going to do with this group. We have increased the number in 2013. Just before I arrived, we were putting about $15 million in. Now and it was $17 million, I think, the year I arrived. We're now, as I say, up to $25 million specifically targeted to deferred maintenance, and then another $40 to $50 million that probably contributes to addressing the deferred maintenance problem. We don't address it in exactly that same priority way, but I think it is fair to say that this is a real challenge for us. We have for all the acreage we have, we actually have a relatively dense campus where the educational activities are largely centralized. A part of the campus that you're most, of course, everybody's most familiar with is the center part of the campus. That density, while useful in some ways, also has come about by, as I mentioned before, lots of smaller buildings, which increase the deferred maintenance challenges because the infrastructure for each of those buildings is relatively independent. And this is particularly true in residence halls. We would be better off, as we're thinking going forward, thinking about residence halls rather than a large number of small residence halls, to increase to have some smaller number of larger residence halls. And that's the direction we're moving in.
Again, you're listening to comments from Texas A&M President Michael Young at this week's presentation before the A&M System Board of Regents. We continue with a question from a member of the Regents and President Young's response regarding deferred maintenance.
I think the same issue there, when you look at what we have invested, you look at the fact that we've got, you know better than me, but we got $7 billion that is really under construction right now. And we've been struggling to keep up with the maintenance, yet here comes another load of maintenance that, as you look in the coming years, I don't know whether you talk 2, 3, 4, 5, But certainly by the end of 5 years, if we're still growing in deferred maintenance, I think we're going to have a major problem. Now, you know, one could say, well, half of those buildings got deferred maintenance, need to be tore down. And that's fair, if that is the right economic decision. But somehow we have to, I think, in the next few years, be able to look at forecasts that says we're bringing down deferred maintenance. We just can't continue to see that curve head to the sky. So I won't chase the question anymore, but it's just I think if there's a looming issue for us out there, this is one of the big ones. So thanks for your response.
I think you're absolutely right. What we don't do at universities, certainly don't do it at publics, and I don't think do it much at privates in my experience either, is do what businesses do, which is to look at the life cycle of a building, create sinking funds that allow you to do both deferred maintenance and replacement when the time comes. Part of it is because we don't strategically disaggregate our buildings and their life cycle. So for example, we kind of conceptually understand that a residence hall has a much shorter life than a science building. We're going to build the science building for 50, 75, 100 years, and indeed, that's how long they tend to stay up. Hell, our Quonset huts stay up 100 years. But at the same time, a residence hall, we know we're going to renovate it and or tear it down in 30 years. I mean, that's just the cycle. And whatever we say, if we build both to the exact same specifications, we're making a mistake, because the one plausibly should be constructed in ways that has, you know, a much longer lasting. The other should be built more like the private sector builds apartment complexes and so forth, understanding the life cycle. So we're trying to weave in a much clearer idea of the life cycle of our buildings, and then think through, when we talk about at O&M, what we're usually talking about is how do we keep the lights on today? But we're asking questions about how do we set aside enough funds to ensure that we can get, that we can sort of address some of these. And as I say, the amount of money we spend varies, depending on how you count, anywhere from $25 to almost $90 million in terms both of deferred maintenance and of renovation of buildings. If we can keep at that level, then that does have the prospect of getting us a little bit ahead of it. Because even if the increase is $60 million every year, given our square footage, we would be $30 million ahead. With that, $25 million would actually begin to move us ahead. And that's really what our goal is. But I think it's something to keep a very careful eye on. It's part of the reason we're engaging this group, to help us get a much deeper drill down and analysis, I think, of that as well. But it is, and I think will remain, a challenge.
Comments from Texas A&M President Michael Young earlier this week as the Board of Regents heard from all the university and agency presidents in the A&M system. This comments dealing with deferred maintenance projects on the flagship campus. This is News Talk 1620 WTAW.